This is the Bold and Inspired Leaders podcast. Through candid conversations, this series reveals the mindset, struggles, and triumphs that define impactful leadership today. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Amber. Join us for conversations with those who make bold moves and lead inspired lives. Let's dive in.
AI is changing how we live and work. Tools like ChatGPT have simplified writing and idea generation, while automation is transforming the way businesses handle customer service and data. Every industry could benefit from AI. And in this episode, we talk about the auto finance industry. For years, lending, loss mitigation, and repossession have relied on slow manual processes that create inefficiencies for both lenders and borrowers. That's why AutoSquared AI is pioneering automation and machine learning in an industry that's overdue for change. But how does someone take an idea like this and turn it into a business? And where is AI taking the auto finance industry next? We're sitting down with Bahadur Rahimi from AutoSquared AI to find out. Hi, Bahadur. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you spent years in the auto finance industry. What first drew you to this industry?
Honestly, it was just a coincidence, actually. So prior to the auto finance loss mitigation, about 15 years ago, I was in healthcare. And I missed an opportunity on a promotion in the corporation I was working at. And one thing led to another, and I met John Rhodes and joined MBSI because of that missed opportunity in healthcare.
Awesome.
One door closes, another opens.
It was quite a surprising and delightful coincidence.
So, can you explain what AutoSquared AI does and why it's such a game changer?
Yeah. So if you think about the auto finance loss mitigation space, you know, from the moment an account goes into a collection status all the way to the point that it's repossessed or either redeemed by the borrower or sent to the auction for remarketing, there were just so many manual processes and so many different things involved in this ecosystem. And really, AutoSquared is built on a platform, an idea of a platform where we train a cognitive model that learns about the entire ecosystem at the rate of the industry. So it's first of its kind that can actually look at the data from the entire industry, not be tied to a particular organization or a particular company, but every aspect of our industry, learn from all the transactions and the data that are available, and be able to create or process, you know, valuable decisions throughout the way.
Why is it such a game changer, though?
It goes back to those manual processes that I just mentioned. They're just today or historically in our industry, through this ecosystem, through these processes, everybody were just throwing bodies at their problems, right? So I know a couple of organizations, they have, let's say, 50, 60 employees in their skip tracing department, and then they have 30, 40 employees in their admin work and just communicating with whether they're lenders or national forwarders or repo agents. These are not critical tasks. These are simply, I would call them, pushing buttons. But as the volume of, you know, our industry is going through an increase in the delinquencies and other things. We're seeing all-time high delinquencies. So you know, in the history of the U.S. economy, as it relates to the auto finance, so they constantly have to throw bodies at them, and at some point, it's hitting the floor it's not sustainable anymore to continue to add human resource to these problems. Therefore, the opportunity for AutoSquared to walk in and tackle the challenges.
Mm-hmm. I mean, simply put, automate.
Automate, correct.
Automate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're not taking away people's jobs. No. You're making them more efficient so that they can handle more volume, get more done.
100%. That's the number one question that we usually get asked when we're in closed doors mm-hmm. with executives. We're like, well, how is this going to come across to our staff or people? I'm like, really, the idea is to get your superstars to focus on tasks that requires critical thinking that a human can do. Mm-hmm. This, the idea is not to get rid of human in all aspects, but to actually empower them to focus on things that actually matter, where they're specialized. Mm-hmm. Not pushing buttons, copy-pasting text from one screen to another, pushing buttons from one screen to another. That's not productive. That's not efficient. Mm-hmm. Someone can bring additional value, do more value-add things that actually can move the needle for the company and everyone involved.
And there's a lot of, I mean, the auto, how long has the auto finance industry been around? Or auto industry? We could all take a guess.
Hundreds? not hundreds,
no,
but
no,
over.
No. When was the first car invented?
Probably has to be more than 100 years ago. I don't know. I
would say about that. Yeah.
It has to be more.
So auto finance, anyways, has been around for a long time.
Correct.
And that's the point. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No worries.
Now we're going to have to, everybody Google that, please. but so there's systems in place, and there's not been a lot of, has there been a lot of change and innovation in the auto finance industry, at least in this loss mitigation portion of it?
When I first started, they were still lenders that would send an email or even a fax. Mm-hmm. Actually, we did have a credit union who would send us a fax of repossession orders. And that was about 15 years ago. There were still pieces of paper that drivers out in the field will print and put on the dash of their truck and run addresses as they're going to find vehicle and repossess vehicles.
Did they use MapQuest?
They did use MapQuest, yes. So definitely it has changed over the years. I can't say it hasn't. There were several key innovations, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit in a little bit today. But overall, it has changed definitely, and it's been improved. But there's still so many manual processes involved. There's always room for improvements, and I would say we're not halfway done where it could potentially be.
Yeah. And you and your co-founder, John, was there a point when you guys looked at each other and said, we can fix this?
Yeah. So, quick background, John and I, John was the original founder of MBSI, which is one of the main reposition management platforms or softwares in the U.S., John was the original founder. He brought me on about 14, 15 years ago as his support manager. That's where I entered this industry. And since then, John has been my mentor, my business partner. And when John sold MBSI, we both kind of, John left, a couple years before me. I stayed with MBSI for a few more years. 2019, I left MBSI shortly after. I repartnered with John. We did some VC activities and, some investments in the fintech space globally and in the U.S. As part of those VC activities that we did, we dabbled into the artificial intelligence and automations and robotic process auto, RPA. We learned quite a lot from that experience. In parallel to that, after I left MBSI, I made a lot of friends, and I call them family members. Like, they're family to me. They're like, I genuinely like catch up with them when they're, their son is getting married, or, they have a grandson being born like next month. We just keep in touch and stay connected with quite a few people in this industry. So I've always, even though we didn't have anything to do, I continue to attend all the conferences and events throughout the year. And we were doing our VC activities on the side. We're doing all these, keeping in touch with people in the industry over time. And there was just a moment John and I were talking, and we're like, even this day and age, we still have these issues in the auto finance loss mitigation space. And we're like, oh, we just learned all these things in the other ventures that we've been working on. And it was just an aha moment. I'm like, what if we put both of these experiences together and come back to the loss mitigation space as our next big thing? And that was around beginning of 2023. It took us about 5-6 months to really put that on paper and really build a roadmap of what we wanted to build. And what started and what it is today is night and day different. But that was the moment where, like, yeah, the technology has been advanced so much that, has advanced so much that we can definitely come back and play a huge role in making some significant changes.
That's awesome. It's like a homecoming, right?
Yeah. No, it was a goosebump feeling, to be
honest. Cool.
At the time.
Yeah. That is good.
It was interesting.
I don't think people realize how much money is lost on one vehicle by multiple companies throughout this process. I think people think the bank has, the bank is the one who's losing the money, but there are multiple companies involved in this loss mitigation process that these inefficiencies are costing them millions and millions of dollars a year. I don't think people really understand that.
It's funny you say that. And so there's two ways, I mean, there are two angles in the way they're losing money. So first off, you're 100% right. Everyone involved is hurting. Like, they're not taking full advantage of the opportunities that are out there. But there are two angles in how the loss is happening today. One is the expenditure, the expenses, and how much resources and capital, human capital that they have to throw at problems or processes they have. That's a big chunk. Recently, in some of our recent conversation with our clients and prospects that we've been talking to, we realize the lack of consistency and the automation, what kind of missed revenue opportunities for everyone involved actually been buried under the rug, and no one really knew, or if they knew, they couldn't do really anything about it. Like missed invoicing opportunities. We found out there are like millions of dollars a year for all the parties involved, including lenders who like not charging things back to the consumer where they can, because there is not a right process to track all the dollars. So repo agents wouldn't bill for the things that they deserve to bill. National forwarders wouldn't bill for the things they provide a service and should have billed. And the lenders wouldn't actually identify the right charges where it's applicable by law, charge back to the consumer. So all these missed billing opportunities that we identify, that just because everyone is so overwhelmed with how everything is, you know, the volume and being understaffed and everything else, is that they just never had an opportunity to focus on those missed opportunities as well.
Mm. And I feel like your approach to all of this has been to stay very focused on a solution. But even then, it's still been challenging for you bringing out a simple solution to a complex problem. That's still been difficult for people to even wrap their minds around, especially as soon as you say anything related to AI. Yeah. So how do you even stay focused yourself without letting everybody else's spaghetti brain get you all sideways and out of focus?
So you nailed that. I mean, AI is a scary word today, right? Everybody's right. Excited about it, but
in
at the same
parts,
time,
yeah.
In equal parts, but everybody's also scared of it.
Yeah.
It's a powerful tool, but the way I would describe it is the evolution that all technology companies went through probably about 10 years ago or 12 years ago when it comes to hosting and data centers. 12, 13 years ago, even when I was at MBSI, we had a physical database. We had a data center with servers and
a server room. Yep.
And when we start talking to lenders or forward or anybody to, hey, we want to go to cloud. No, you can't go to cloud. Cloud is not safe. It's not approved. It's not an accepted form of hosting. Today, if you're not on cloud, people will laugh at you. Like yeah. You will be like, okay, what age and what age are you living in, right? The same thing is going to be with AI. Today, you're going to have the leaders, and then you're going to have the followers. The followers are probably going to stay back and wait for the leaders to take a few steps. Right now, we're working with clients who want to be the first in the market for these type of changes, these type of evolution, so to speak.
So does that make an ideal client for AutoSquared right now? Yeah. As you sort of in that initial business development conversation, you're listening for things like, hey, I don't know how this is going to affect us. I know it's going to affect us, and I want to be a part of the solution, or rather than we're against any change.
Correct. Yeah. And this is exactly so. And one of the things that we are doing is we have, you know, several different automations that gets plugged in into different stages of the process, the life cycle of an account. Not every single one of them, quote unquote, touches AI. Some of them are just simple decisioning that can get enhanced by AI. But even right now, with simple decisioning engine, the old school coding, so to speak, still can solve a lot of problems. So we know kind of where to draw the line, client by client basis. We can go 20 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, depending on their comfort level. And it still moves the needle for them. But again, the ideal client, to your point, yes, those are who are aggressive to not be last in this space. And there are quite a few. I mean, there's a mix of all kinds. I mean, we have clients who've told us, hey, right now we're not doing anything with AI, but can you please reach back out to us in 2026? Mm. We have clients who've been piloting with us since we launched the company. And they went through that initial phase. They went through the build of the process. They were our partners in it wasn't a vendor-client relationship. They were our partners. They were as excited about this as we were, as if they're one of the founders. And, you know, on a side note, we're forever, you know, grateful for them. But those are the two types of customers that you'll see, or clients that you'll see that you interact with.
So the moral of the story is, when you have something that's disruptive or innovative to the point where it's scary to a part of the market, your approach is look for the people who are saying, I don't have all the answers, but I know this is coming, and I know I need to figure out how to integrate it into my business.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's one of the things about John and I think we're sometimes a little, in a good way, stubborn to take no for an answer.
Oh, I hadn't noticed.
We always, if you know, I'm a firm believer, when there is a will, there is a way. And there are two aspects to this. One is ask questions, and really questions the status quo, and figure out what is being done today that no longer even needs to happen. Mm. And this is, you know, kind of digressing a little bit, but our approach with all of our clients is really not a vendor-client relationship. It's truly a partnership relationship. We sit down and we talk about the pain points. They, you know, tell us what their pain points are. We ask questions before we even say, oh, we can right away fix this for you. Let's just talk about it. Like, figure out what are everything else you do. You can have the best technology in the world. You can have the best data in the world. If your processes are not efficient, there's, at the end of the day, the technology and the data are not going to help you. You have to have a proper and fluid workflow. And if that is not in place, technology or nothing else is going to help you as much. You're not really not going to extract the best value out of it. So that's really our approach, is we sit down, we talk, we ask questions, and we challenge them on the things that they've been doing for the last 20 years. But do you still need to do it? Mm-hmm. And if not, how can we pivot our processes and then apply the technology and automations to it? Now you automatically eliminate 20 steps in the process because it was an expectation before, and now just everybody got used to it and they continue to do it. And really, that's really how we tackle those conversations and we approach them.
Do you have a favorite story of impact that you've made with one of your clients / partners?
Favorite story.
I didn't put you on the spot with that, but
no. One of the things. So I'll talk about the impound process, and like this was one of the pivots that we did in, you know, early on in the company. One of our first lenders that came on board with Ottawa Squared, they had about 10 or 12 people in their impound department, and they would receive these impound notices, and they would pick up the phone, call the impound lot, and get some answers. And if they're going to go pick up the car from the impound lot, they would generate all the documents. Our initial solution was to provide the lender with real-time impound notices. We monitor your portfolio with our partner LoanBridge. As soon as we get the data back, we'll automatically send that over to you. We automate the workflow internally within your system of record. Everything gets generated right away. So within seconds, your staff have all the details they need for that impound within their queue, so they don't have to go through emails or look at a spreadsheet to figure out what they have to do.
I remember like a stack of papers. It was like, yeah. Oh, those are impounds. We haven't gone through those yet.
Yep.
That would happen.
Yep. So, and then as part of the conversation, I honestly didn't know. I mean, all these years in the industry, I wasn't really that knowledgeable about the impound process. And as we dug deeper and we were talking to them through scoping this out, I realized on every impound release, they generate at the very least 4 documents, sometimes up to 6 or 7, depending on the state and again, location or the state or city requirements. And I'm like, are these forms just templates? They're like, yeah. Like, we can pre-fill every single one of the documents in all 50 states for you. So now that was just like, okay, let's do this. And all of a sudden now, from going to spending 20 minutes per impound notice, 30 minutes per impound notice, they're going into 3 minutes, 4 minutes, wow. 5 minutes per impound notice. And it was a really good, again, feeling just watching that all. Just such a simple solution. It just wasn't, I guess, AI. This is not AI. This is not. But is again questioning what is being done and how can it be different, not just expecting the norm and just accepting the norm and just moving on with it.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said, I mean, you're so busy that you're just going through the motions that you've always gone through and you don't have time to take a step back and evaluate, all right, what is it that we're doing here that's inefficient? How can we save time? There's got to be a better way. And so you guys just kind of came in like the guardian angels of auto finance loss mitigation. And we're like, we're here to help with your cape and everything. But a lot of people didn't see you that way, like you said.
There's a favorite quote. It's like, good leaders work in their business, but great leaders work on their business, right? And that's, it's like just going outside rather than being in the minutiae every day, being in the fire and just, again, drinking from the fire hose every day. It's just like, take a step back. Just go step back 10 feet and just look at the whole thing holistically and just figure out where else things can change and where things can be modified that would, again, shift your entire ecosystem for a better.
Mm-hmm. I used to work for a gentleman and his head would come off his body when somebody on his team would say, he would question something and they would say, but this is the way it's always been done. He would, because his response was, but is that the best way to still do it today? So when you think about the conversations and you going out in this industry, you're going to meet resistance. Mm-hmm. And you're going to meet resistance because some people just may be jealous because of what you've done. Some people may be insecure. Some people might not understand. How has the entire company responded to anybody who said, that'll never work? It'll never change the industry.
Honestly, simple. We put our focus and energy on people and clients who believed in the vision. Mm. And we always kept in touch with the people who thought it wouldn't work. Matter of fact, one of our clients that we're just recently bringing on wasn't a believer at first. And then they waited, see what we did with the other clients. And once they saw everything, how it works, and now they see it in action, now they're like, and I'm not exaggerating. On the way here, I actually got a text from him that he referred me to another client that, Hey, I just talked to so-and-so at the other company and they're interested, give him a call. It's normal. I would say it's expected for, again, we're talking about a revolutionary item. We're talking about something that is not commonly accepted. So it's normal. We expect it for people to at first not believe in the vision and the idea, and we focus on the areas where we have a good partner to build on that relationship and build on that partnership and show them what can be done. Use the data, proof is in the pudding. So use that to then gravitate the rest of the folks.
I love that, because the more you put your energy towards the people who are accepting and open and are realize that they have a problem and they need a solution to it, then the more you can grow and the more case studies you build, and then eventually those will come along. And that's just kind of means a little bit of common sense.
Yeah. From a sales and marketing perspective, we see this all the time. So we go in and work with companies where they are rolling out new ideas, new products, new services. And oftentimes we found that the resistance comes from the fact that a lot of people don't actually see it yet. So they may, in some degree or some way, conceptualize it, but they don't really understand how it's going to play out. And so what I just heard you say is that I feel like some people in your industry have had to see this play out. You may have said what you were going to do, but then they had to see the solution, work in a business, see the savings, see less full-time employees or those full-time employees dedicated towards higher revenue producing parts of the business. But I feel like that's often where we see resistance in companies to new ideas. They actually don't see how it's going to they don't see what it's going to shake out into until it actually rolls out. And then you start to see more people and more buy-in come to it and say, okay, I get it. I support that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one other thing I would like to add, what we are working on right now, I mean, as a whole, I would say we're probably the only company in our industry who's doing what we're doing as a whole. There are smaller areas where there are other companies who are playing a role in that area. But if you look at Auto Escort as a whole and the overall vision behind it, we are the only company that is doing that. I've had recent conversations with some of the organization who have a very strong internal tech team. And they talk to us about the challenges that they're thinking or considering going through using AI or other functions. And quite honestly, I've shared with all of them, if they want to brainstorm with us, even just the last 12 months, we learned so much about this process. If my beard was longer, the white hair will tell you how interesting it was. But we're more than happy. I just had a conversation with one of the CTOs of very, very reputable companies in the industry. And again, he hit me on a Sunday, and we're chatting on some of the things he's planning on working internally. And I gave him what we learned. Because at the end of the day, I think this market is so big and so, again, congested. The opportunities on it is so much. I'm not worried about even additional solutions or other companies coming to this space. And I'll be happy again to work with anybody else who wants to brainstorm through this process, because the ideal goal for me is to change the understanding of what can be done with the technologies we have available. Not necessarily only for, oh, Auto Square should want to dominate the whole, you know, auto finance industry and take over the entire space. I honestly just want to see the entire industry actually think in that direction, think forward, have that forward thinking mindset to how can you revolutionize and disturb everything you're doing today with the technology and advancements that are available.
I saw something on social media this weekend that said that AI is the only equivalent to a true revolution from a technology standpoint. Is the only thing that they can compare to is splitting of the atom. They said that's how big AI is. And the good news is all of the content, unless you're living under a rock right now, all of the content out there across all platforms from people, leaders in every industry right now is start using AI in your business today. That is the first and most critical thing you need to be doing right now is where does AI fit into your business today? I think what scares most people is that the pace in which this is going to go. I just said to someone recently that 6 months from now, AI is going to be a different experience than it is right now. And that's 2 quarters. That's third quarter from first quarter. I think it's the pace that scares most people. I think it's sort of, and not knowing what it looks like as it continues to develop and evolve. It almost feels like we as humans, you know, can we keep up? You know, what is relevant today? What is that going to look like in 6 months from now?
Yeah.
No. We've even learned that in our own business, just using AI, it actually makes us faster as humans.
Yes.
Hello. Like that's exactly the whole point of what you're doing.
I mean, hey, ChatGPT, for example, it's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
I mean, I would be lying if there's so many little things we do on a day-to-day basis, you know, drafting an important email to somebody that you want to focus on key things, but you don't want to sit down and write a long email and waste 30 minutes of your time. Now you give ChatGPT your main bullet points. And within 2 minutes, you have a very well-written with a friendly or formal or corporate or non-corporate tone and however shape or form you want. Yep. The whole work smarter, not harder. It's just that idea needs to be adapted and accepted.
You can even tell ChatGPT, this is a little too friendly.
Yeah.
Try again. It's amazing.
And it it's an incredible information sorter. This is Fathom Note Taker is our whole team has, that was a game changer for us because it's incredibly difficult to be in a meeting, take notes, but also really be focused on what the person is saying. But Fathom Note Taker, the follow-up, the bullet points, you can actually refresh your own memory. You know, you go into your second meeting, but you go back and read the Fathom summary from the last meeting. Oh, that's right. We talked about, okay, I need to touch on these. That's where we see it start to create super efficiencies. But I think the big thing is it going to take us over? Is it just like the movies Bahadur?
iRobot?
We shall see. I would say for things like what happened in iRobot or Matrix or other movies, I would say give it probably another 10, 15, 20 years. If there is a chance of it, at least 20 years. We're not that advanced yet. I mean, I don't think any of the companies will get remotely that dangerous probably until 20 years from now.
Yeah. But in 20 years, get ready.
I mean, I'm saying it's possible. Yeah. I mean, if they don't put the proper measure, AI is smart. AI is powerful. No one should downplay that. But I think all the companies are realizing how much proper measures and checks and balances they should put in place for it not to go rogue, so to speak. But in our space, is the data set and the decisioning and the definitions are so, even with the size of our industry, still so limited. There is only certain things that it's being defined and it's being trained on. So not to say worried about the auto finance loss mitigation space, but on a personal level, our life, so to speak, I think we're far, far away ahead from having any concerns with AI going rogue.
Have you had challenges with your solutions and aligning those with the regulations of the industry?
There are not necessarily challenges. Again, this is unprecedented approach. So mainly lenders, financial institutions, if it's not defined, then it's a no. It doesn't mean it's against the rules, but it's not defined, right? So they have a kind of like a block for it unless it's defined.
What is that? What do you mean by that?
So if let's say they don't have a defined policy or they don't have a defined expectation or they don't have a defined compliance rules for AI, then it's no until we figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. And that process is what everybody's going through right now. From a regulatory perspective, the way AutoSquared is built, our AI actually never sees the actual consumer information. So the way we have designed it is that our AI will only see anonymized and de-identified information, makes decision on those, and that information gets translated back into the automation platform. So the AI model itself will never see Bahadur Rahimi as a consumer in its database. So we have already accounted for all the rules and regulations related to that. But like I said, not everything we also offer utilizes AI. Like, for example, we use AI to review asset pictures. There is nothing confidential about an asset picture. It's just a vehicle, right? It's just an asset, the pictures of front bumper, rear bumper, trunk, inside, all those other things. That's just a normal AI usage. It's not tied back to anybody else. When it comes to skip tracing, we use different models. We don't use actual artificial intelligence. We use, traditional decisioning, traditional machine learning to use that process to make decisions.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. So as in any business, there's risks, right? So what are some of the big risks that you had to overcome in the beginning?
I think the biggest risk John and I took was just believing in the fact that this is possible. I mean this in the most genuine way, is we believed we could do this and we learned so much throughout the process, but at the same time, we had to pivot many times as we went through this, right? What we started with is not absolutely where we came to where we are today.
And do you mean that from a product standpoint?
From a solution perspective, from an approach perspective, and how we would tackle about addressing the process as a whole, right? In the beginning, we're like, oh yeah, we do X, Y, and Z, and that's it, it's done. Now we're like, well, what if we don't do X, Y, and Z and only focus on A, B, and C, and we'll still give a 30, 50, 60, 70% lift in the process. So it's the biggest risk was going into this knowing that it can be done, but we just have to question everything throughout the process. Mm-hmm. That was honestly the biggest risk we took, is that are we willing to go in head to head with everybody and question the processes, question the things, the way things are done today, and then push and persuade people to look at their processes in a different way. And again, so far we've had great partners who really saw the vision. And I think a very reassuring moment for me was just after, after Christmas, before the New Year's Eve, I was on a call with three or four different repossession agents. And, you know, I went through the whole overview of our solutions, you know, after an hour phone call. And the gentleman who was kind of the point of contact for all these repossession agencies, it was a part of an association that they have several repossession agents. They brought the entire group of companies to come look at our, or listen to our presentation. And his sentence was, 9 years ago, all of us repo agents, we sat in a room and we listened to a company called ClearPlan to give us their presentation. And at that time, we all said, this is game-changing for our industry. And ClearPlan is a routing software. We're very good partners with them. They really changed the industry, the repossession space, when it comes to routing and mapping and dispatching drivers to different addresses. The contact on the call is like, today, I'm getting the same feeling that I had 8 years ago when I listened to ClearPlan's presentation. This is the second time I'm feeling the same way. After you give me your presentation about Auto is Squared, I feel like this is the next big thing that is going to disrupt our industry and change the way we do things on a day-to-day basis.
That's an amazing compliment.
That was the reassuring moment for me. Like, okay, all right. I guess if they see it that way, we're on the right side. Or like we've had, you know, folks who would listen to our pitch or our overview, and then they start becoming our sales rep. They go and talk to other people and they send us referrals and they're like, hey, you need to talk to this person, there's so many problems that you guys can fix. And again, that's when you get the reassurance you're on the right path. Mm-hmm. And you're asking the right questions, you're poking the right, you know, bear, and you know, figuring out where to go from there.
I like how consistently throughout our conversation, you've brought up again and again how your approach is to get people to ask themselves about their own processes. Like, is this the best way? Could there be a better way? Are we doing this in an efficient way? Mm-hmm. And that's a really healthy thing for a business owner to be doing. So what advice would you give other leaders who are trying to disrupt their industries?
I would say be stubborn on the vision, but not stubborn on the path you take.
That's so good.
That to me is like, again, when we started, we had a whole different approach in mind, and we changed and changed and changed so many times. We accepted that this approach is wrong. Let's change and how we can do it better. Moved on to the next one. Until we perfected it as we went through it. So I know many other entrepreneurs or business owners are like, they have this vision in their mind, and that vision is tied to a path or a journey. And they stuck to it, even when they're drowning, even when they know it's wrong. It's hard for them to say, no, this doesn't work. Let's figure out another way. That, I think, at least I would say, and I think John has been a great mentor to me. It's like, John is even more better than this on this than me. But it's like knowing when to say, hey, let's take a step back. How can we shift? Yeah. How can we pivot? Keep the vision in mind, but how can we pivot on the approach, on the path forward?
It's so good. I said this probably twice in the last week of... when you're bringing something new to the market, you do all your research, you have a bunch of bright people around who put together a plan, and then you take the field. And if you've done your research and you have the right people around the project, you get a lot of it right. But then there are things that you didn't see coming. There are just blind spots when you launch something new and when you learn from that, and without ego, or without saying, oh, but we've spent a ton of money on this direction, being able to be the John or even yourself at times and say, wait, I think there's another way to go about this that's different than what we originally intended.
This isn't working.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get everybody together and let's figure out.
Reassess it.
Yeah, what needs to change. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep. Well, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to have you on. You're an inspiring leader. Yeah, we love working with you.
Yeah. I appreciate it. No, this was fun. Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, Bahadur.
Of course.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Bold and Inspired Leaders podcast.
Keep making bold moves and leading inspired lives. See you next time.